Blog Talk Radio.
This is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, we'll interview the authors, filmmakers, and media mavens that tell our story. Stonewall Live on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Nate Klarfeld in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm going to read you a quote first before I introduce my guest tonight. In late March of 1969, the State's Line Company fired a young man named Gale Whittington simply because he was gay. This act spawned the first gay liberation organization in the San Francisco area called the Committee for Homosexual Freedom. Gale later became known as Gale the Liberator in the area around San Francisco. Through massive marches and bringing it to the streets, Gale Whittington and his friends made a mark on gay liberation. And this was before the drag queens in Stonewall. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Gale Chester Whittington. Hey there, what's going on?
Hi, it's nice to be here.
It's cold there in Oklahoma, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a lot of snow right now. We have big drifts, and it's very uncomfortable, but I'm surviving.
you're having fun here. Just warm up with us. Okay, great. You wrote a book called Beyond Normal, The Birth of Gay Pride. And tonight we're going to set the record straight. It's about the only straight thing I do is set the record. And we're going to talk about things that happened before Stonewall. Most people, if they know gay history, think everything started with the drag queens and Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village. But months before, Gale and his cohorts let him tell the story. Gale, go ahead and tell us what happened to you when you got fired.
Well, I was working at the steamship company, and I was doing quite well. I'd had a promotion and all, and there were a lot of gay people in the company. But at that time, it wasn't talked about out loud. It was just something that was hush-hush. And I decided to do something for the gay community. I started writing for this Vector magazine, which was the mouthpiece for the Society for Individual Rights, or SIR, which was the only gay organization that was around at the time that did much. And the editor of the magazine took some pictures of him and I together where we were just kidding around, and he was hugging me, and suddenly the pictures showed up in the Berkeley Barb, a newspaper which was sold on every street corner in San Francisco. And because it had a lot of dirty pictures in it, and all the old men in the financial district liked to look at them. Suddenly, one of the guys in the accounting department handed me a copy and told me to look on page 4, I believe it was. And there was my picture with the headline, "Homos Don't Hide It."
Whoa, homos don't hide it. What a way to start your career.
I know. Suddenly I was fired and on the streets, and after I got out of the over the initial shock, I got mad.
Good.
And the author of the article that went along with the picture, Leo Lawrence, who was also the editor of Vector magazine, had written an article called "Gay Revolution." That was published with my picture, and he and I got together and formed a committee for homosexual freedom to fight against it, against this company, because we didn't think it was fair that I should be fired
just for being gay. And for the listeners out there who haven't seen this picture, if you go to stonewalllive.blogspot.com or gailechesterwhittington.com, you will see that great picture. And Gale, let me just tell you, the folks at home, Gale's picture, he is a hottie. This is a cute little, I mean, how old were you in that picture?
I was only about 21.
Hottie. Just, I mean, we're talking major hottie. So, I mean, you got this picture, and by the way, you are shirtless in the picture. Is that correct?
That's true.
He is shirtless in the picture. This is 1969, okay? And he's running around shirtless. Oh, it's okay. He has the body for it, or had the body for it.
It's a picture from the waist up, so it looks like I don't have anything.
Right. Well, I didn't want to, you know, completely gross out the whole. Anyway, yes, it's a very hot, it's very provocative picture. And in fact, there was a after you got fired, didn't you and Leo recreate that picture?
Yeah, we had a we reenacted it several times.
Yeah, you're having way too much fun.
Right. And the people in the financial district loved our picket line. They would stand and watch us for hours, and they would come over and talk to us. We had a good time and got a lot of support from the community.
What street was the picket line on for our San Francisco savvy people? What street was that on?
California Street.
Oh, California Street.
Financial District.
Yeah, you're right. You got them right downtown.
California Street. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to ask, because people know San Francisco. They've been there. They know the area. Right. Great. Okay, so let me talk about the book Beyond Normal. Gail writes in a – we were talking about this before the show started. I was kind of doing a little warm-up with him. Gail writes in a very, very comfortable style. It's not a history book. It doesn't start, on March the 17th, I went out and made a placard and stood on the street corner. No, that's not the way this book is written. He calls it a novel. I call it a soap opera because Gail, being, you know, a young 21-year-old when this started, has had a very active life, sex life, social life. And he's going to talk about it right now, right?
Yeah, those were the days when, before AIDS and everything, and it was also the time of the sexual revolution. 1969 was a very open period. We also had the Sexual Freedom League, which was an ally of ours, and things were very different back then.
It was the summer of love.
Summer of love and free love.
Free love and summer of love, right, exactly. And that really colored a lot of things, didn't it? How was it like just to live with those? I mean, this is something we have a lot of younger audience members, because this is on the internet, so not too many people in nursing homes listening to this. the people that have the average listener here has matured, totally sexually matured, in the age of either AIDS or herpes.
Right.
So there's always been a death or permanent damage issue with sex. But you and I are older, and I'm admitting it too, and we got to tell us what it's like to live with no physical constraints on your sexuality, because you can't even get anybody pregnant doing what we were doing.
Right, exactly. It was. We never suspected there would be any problems. Occasionally we've got crabs or something like that, but those were easy to take care of, you know.
Right. Again, that's not perfect.
A lot of fun. It was a great period in our history.
Right. Yeah, and you do write about it with a lot of fun. It's a fun soap opera but interjected is the history of actually not just gay liberation, but kind of a whole student uprising. You talk about, is it Freedom Park, or am I getting the name of that wrong?
People's Park.
Tell us about the People's Park demonstrations.
Well, that was a vacant lot that was near the university in Berkeley, and it was abandoned, and so the people in the community decided to plant trees and shrubs and flowers. And turned out it was owned by the university. And as soon as they saw us doing all that, they cracked down and fenced it up and turned it into a parking lot.
Oh, you're kidding. So they didn't want any people around. Yeah, they didn't want any people around. That's too bad.
It was a bummer, but it brought us as a community together. You know, it was also the anti-war movement was going on.
Right.
And all that stuff was considered part of a common movement.
Right.
And we decided
movement.
We wanted to bring the gay movement in on it. Because
you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah. I hear your voice cracking.
Yeah, you're breaking up on me a little bit. Okay, but anyway, so you had the peace movement. You had the gay liberation movement. You had the free love movement. And you really have kind of like a down with the establishment. That's what I kept reading. That you said, I haven't seen that word in 20 years until I read your book. Anyway, I do want to remind our listeners that if you're on the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Stonewall Live, if you're on that show page listening to us, which is the only way you can listen to this, if you see the book jacket cover that says Beyond Normal, and if you want to make Gail really happy, you'll click that, and it'll take you to the Amazon.com page where you can buy the book, either with a Kindle download or a hard copy sent to your home. So I just wanted to remind people that the book cover has a direct link built right into it that will take you to Amazon.com. That's our little sponsor, I have to say that.
Oh, thank you.
I have to say that on every show, because if not, they'll take it away from me. And as I said, it will make Gail very happy selling books, right?
Right. I appreciate it. I want people to read the book.
Yeah,
I
do too.
To learn about our history.
Right.
Not just because I want to make money, because I doubt if I ever get rich off of it, but I want people to know what happened.
Right. And it's so hard to get younger people who have, of course, none of this is in history books. You know that none of this is in history books. Not even the Stonewall Riots are in the history books, the American history books.
They're not properly documented either.
Right. And that's one of the things that I'm glad we're setting the record straight, that there were uprisings.
Are you there?
When I first saw I saw you online through your connection with, and this is another, we're going to get off the subject of Beyond Normal. I do want to remind, if there's anybody that wants to talk to Gail or myself, the number is 805-830-8355. 805-830-8355. And when it's asked, when they ask you, push 1, and you'll be put in line, and I will talk to you, and we'll both talk to you. One of the things I wanted to talk to Gail about, and I want to let our listeners know that they probably will hear something they didn't expect to hear, is that Gail is the organizer of the Adam Lambert Fan Club.
Right.
Tell us how that got started. Tell us how that got started, please.
Well, I used to I still have a blog. And I used to write a lot about Adam Lambert, and I would go to Facebook and post links to my articles. And one of them was this club, and only had 50 members. And the founder of the club saw my articles, and she made me an administrator because she didn't have time to mess with it.
Right.
And at that time, it only had 50 members.
Right.
And that was about 8 months ago, and now it has over 14,000 members.
14,000 members listen to all of your little tweets and blurbs.
Right, and I just love it because I get to write about one of my favorite singers who I adore, and he's also a very strong believer in gay rights.
That's correct.
Doing good things for gay people.
Right, right. And here's the question. Which is the real boyfriend? Is it the guy that was on the Big Brother, the Swedish guy, the Danish guy?
Yeah, apparently Sally is the current one.
But wasn't he caught? Can you tell that I'm a total, like, bubblegum freak here? I know that he was seen hugging and canoodling with one of his back dancers. Do you believe I know that even? But I do know that.
Well, there's been a lot of pictures, and it's pretty obvious. You can conclude that he's pretty much enamored by this guy.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, one of the things that I've found really interesting, of course, I watched American Idol. He should have won, but it's always funny that the guy that comes in second gets a better career than the guy that comes in first.
That's true. It's true. It's real, real strange.
Yeah.
But, of course, he was robbed, you know. He should have won.
It was a joke. And you know what? I couldn't understand that one unless there was some. I mean, I think someday they're going to arrest all those people on American Idol for cheating.
Well, apparently there was some voting from Arkansas that Oh. Kind of stranded. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, I don't know. No one understands the voting. It's not like the, you know, it's not like the law. It's not like the, you know, running for president. Oops, I got a caller. Hold on.
How's it sound?
Hey, we're sounding great.
Radio show.
Hey, listen. Turn off your sound, and tell me your first name.
Leo Walsh.
Hi, Leo. Hey, Leo. Where are you from?
San Diego.
San Diego, you can't be farther away than Fort Lauderdale from me right now, which is cool.
Leo. Leo's the one that co-founded the committee.
Oh, Leo, you're the other hot guy in the picture. I've been using that picture in my blog, All Week Long, and I Twittered it, I think, a couple of times already. And, everyone's going to think that you're 21 years old, and I'm not going to change their minds. Because if they can't do the math, they can't do the math, right?
Right.
Leo, what was it like? Tell our audience what it was like to be in the center of things, in writing for the Berkeley Blog, the Berkeley Barb. Excuse me, that's hard to say this late at night. But really, it seems like a really exciting time. You've got all of these movements going on. Talk about that, please, for me.
Well, I think your listeners could get a very good idea of what that was like first person in Gail Whittington's book, Beyond Normal.
Yes,
and
sir.
I think it's an excellent idea of what it was like and what we went through.
Great. I agree. I read the book. I had a lot of fun with it. And do you agree that it's the best way to tell that story is through his little soap opera of life?
I didn't understand the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't you agree that it's the best way to write that? Is not it like on March 17th this happened and this happened? He wrote it like a little story, like he's going to sit down and chit-chat with you over coffee.
Yes, he has a good style.
Yeah, he has a
very
good style. I talked to him earlier. I read this thing in like 2 hours, 3 hours or something. It was great. It was a good time. So Leo, tell us what are you doing now out in California after your illustrious history of Berkeley Barb and the Committee for Homosexual Freedom?
Well, I'm a journalist with the San Diego News Service.
Wow.
I hold an advanced law degree.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm active in the Society of Professional Journalists.
Great. Super. Do you know Steve Rothhaus down at the Miami Herald? He was former president of the GLBT journalist or something. Are you familiar with that group?
I'm not familiar with the name.
Okay,
Leo was on Bill O'Reilly recently, and on Fox Family News.
Oh no! Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because he's the one that the journalist that's been in the newspaper recently. About trying to get them to stop using the term illegal alien.
Wow. So you guys
led a national, in fact, the national campaign with the Society of Professional Journalists Diversity Committee is continuing, and Fox News had me on twice, including the O'Reilly show, and I did something that the New York producers said had never been done before, and I gave my personal cell phone number and email address on the air.
Oh, wow.
5.3 million conservatives.
Good for you. Have you gotten any calls?
Exactly. My most common name that I've been called is idiot.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, at least they're calling you something.
There
right?
You go. Just tell my name right.
I mean, they're noticing.
Sure. I didn't say that out loud.
I can say that. Well,
he was always one to push the envelope.
That's well,
you know,
no.
There's, in Beyond Normal, Gail Whittington, I think he could have gone one step further because he was the star. He was the star in 69.
Right.
And the whole thing happened around him.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of that is captured in his book, Beyond Normal.
Yeah, I talked to him. Yeah, I agree with you. As I said, it is a fun read. It's factual. It will give you a not only a snapshot, but like a whole panorama of what was going on in 1969. I mean, maybe some of these 30-year-olds have heard the word Summer of Love or the peace movement, but you really got to read it from first hand, don't you think?
Well, it's a, I'm in fact writing a companion story. I'm doing an autobiography.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be focusing on this. And there were some things, for example, that many people didn't know, that the very militant Black Panther Party was supporting the Committee for Homosexual Freedom back then.
So there was a, there was an alliance between the Black Panthers and the Committee for Homosexual Freedom.
I didn't say that. I did say an alliance.
Okay.
Don't change the words.
I won't. Okay, so they were supporting.
The Black Panther Party helped, supported, and trained.
Really? Really? Well, that's pretty interesting. I had no idea. I mean, that's a completely, you know, out of left field hit for me. Wow. That's amazing.
We had alliances with a lot of people, a lot of groups.
What other one?
Amazing time, Daya.
What other groups supported you, or you supported them, or went back and forth with them? Besides the Black Panthers.
We worked with the American Indian Movement and the
really
movement and all that. Women's Federation.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's four.
We had a lot of coalitions. It was,
right.
It was a very exciting time, I have to say.
Well, I can tell you, it's not, we don't have those coalitions now or support from really a whole lot of other people anymore. It seems like everybody's on their own. You know, it's really scary sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, okay, it sure is. So, Gail, I didn't talk about this, your little home life, but your father was a fundamentalist Nazarene preacher with a radio show, just like me. We had something in common. And, and your mother was a gospel recording artist.
Exactly.
You know what kind of movie this would make? Have you thought of Beyond Normal? Have you thought of making a screenplay out of this?
I'm hoping somebody will decide they want one. I'd be glad to write it.
Sure. So when your parents found out that you had been fired before a shirtless picture in the Berkeley Barb with another man, and homos don't hide it is your tagline. How did your fundamentalist Nazarene preacher father and mother gospel singer recording artist take this?
Well, let me put it this way. I had to move back to Denver because I couldn't get a job.
Right.
After a couple of years, I had to move back because I ran out of money.
Uh-huh.
And, one day I was gone, and when I came back home, I discovered my father had burnt all of my newspaper articles.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he turned it in the incinerator.
Oh, my God. So we have nothing for the archives or that new museum out there in California, right?
That spent the last few years.
That's not quite correct. Fortunately, I was a pack rat in one of the luminous boxes of original archives.
Great.
Right. Great. There's stuff out there still. We have to go through the Leo stuff and other people's stuff and find it, you know.
Because isn't there a new museum out there in San Francisco?
Yeah, there is. In fact, I willed the historical museum the rights to my book after I die.
Good for you. Good for you. Hope that doesn't happen for a long time. Well, you know, I'm with a library, too, that has an archive, and I'd appreciate it if you sent us a little, an autographed picture or something. I like to keep a little memento of for our archives. We have 40 tons of historical archives here in Fort Lauderdale in a working room where we actually have two interns that are working with us and two full-time archivists. So it's a big operation. Yeah, but if you could send us something from either Leo send you something of the picture of you two, or it doesn't have to be the original, it could be a copy, and just write a little note on there about what happened, and we'd love to have it in our archive along with this recording, which is going to be It's going to be on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years at this link. It's the same link that you got on tonight. That'll be up for 5 years. But actually, we make a permanent recording on our server of all of our broadcasts, so that people can hear them in the library, or it can be duplicated and sent out if somebody really wanted a copy of this. Because what we're talking is these, Leo and Gail are around right now, and they're going to probably be around for 20 years or so, but they're not going to be around forever. And what we have to remember is 20 years goes by quick, right, guys?
Right, for sure.
Yeah, I can tell you that for sure. That's a biggie for me. And so, anyway, I wanted to get back to a couple of other people, besides Leo and myself. San Francisco Examiner, was it 2 weeks ago? Listed your book as a must-read.
Right.
Go ahead.
They had it in their weekend edition. I was real shocked to find it on the Internet.
Yeah. You sent it to me, and I went, holy cow. That's a big deal. San Francisco Examiner is one of the major 5-10 newspapers in the country, and they picked your book as a must-read.
Kind of ironic.
You should be proud of yourself. That's great. I would be thrilled too. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
It's very ironic too, because we picked them when we were in 1969 for writing lousy articles about us.
Oh, you picketed the same. Right. That's in the book actually. You picketed the same.
Right.
I forgot about that. That you picketed.
So that was like coming around full circle. I love
right.
it.
Yeah, they did come around full circle. See, if you live long enough, that's what my grandmother said, if you live long enough, you get revenge on everybody. That's great. I had no idea that I read the reviews, and it's got some really good reviews, which are on GailChesterWhittington.com, WHITTINGTON. Again, this has been total fun. This half hour just flew by. We only have 2 minutes left. Leo, are you still with us?
I am.
Good. What do you got to say about Gail here? Give me some poop that we don't know. Something that nobody knows about Gail.
Oh, about Gail.
Yes, you were his good friend back then. Come on, give me some poop. We're a gay man tradition.
He was such a hot, good looking, baby face, movie star cute. But when he spoke, people listened. He had quite a style.
Uh-huh.
I urge your listeners to get a copy of Beyond Normal, and they can get a copy online. But
right.
I urge your listeners to read it, because Gail's version is very poignant, very personal, and it does quite clearly establish that the worldwide gay liberation movement started in San Francisco two months before Stonewall in New York.
Right. And actually, Stonewall in New York, nothing really happened after the riots for several months. There was no real organization. The Stonewall Library obviously has done a lot of research, and we have We did find that very little was done after the riots until that fall, actually. So the real organizing didn't happen for about 6-8 weeks, which is kind of interesting that there was that much lag period, because they were pretty angry. But as I've told people before, if you go to the show page on blogtalkradio.com/StonewallLive, where you are listening to this, and if you click on that book cover, you'll go right to the right to Amazon.com. I'm hearing little things in my ear. We are 60 seconds remaining. So, Gail, you've got less than a minute to tell people the last. You get the last word. Go ahead, talk.
Well, I just hope that everybody reads my book, because it's been 10 years writing it, and it's my baby, and I want people to know what happened, because very little was written about the 1969 gay movement in San Francisco, and it's important that people know our history.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people are shocked today when I tell them I was fired in San Francisco for being gay.
I was surprised.
Things weren't always open there.
Right, that's true.
There were a lot of gay people that things were not talked about like they
yes.
are today. So we've come a long way, but we've still got a long way to go.
Good night. Good night, Leo, and good night, Gail, and good night here from Fort Lauderdale Blog Talk Radio. Good night, all. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.